I have great pleasure in welcoming the Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis, and I invite him to address the General Assembly. Mr. Prime Minister.
Thank you. Mr. President, distinguished Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, esteemed heads of state and government, delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I am particularly pleased to extend congratulations to you, distinguished President Ambassador John Ash, on your election to preside over the 68th session of the General Assembly. I am indeed proud, given the stellar service of the General Assembly, and of course, the service that you have rendered to your native land, Antigua and Barbuda, and the Latin American and Caribbean region in general. As a member of the Organization of the Eastern Caribbean Regional Grouping and the wider Caribbean region, St. Kitts and Nevis pledges its full support to you through your tenure at the helm of this General Assembly. I am confident that your expertise and your skills will position you favorably to guide the general debate and the extensive work program of the various committees and agencies of this august body. Mr. President, St. Kitts and Nevis wishes to place on record its own appreciation to your predecessor, the President of the 67th session, His Excellency Mr. Vuk Jeremic, for the important contributions that he made to advance the work of this institution during his own tenure. Mr. President, we advance into this 68th session fully cognizant of the diverse challenges with which we must contend and equally seized of our obligation as a government and people to contribute to the global priorities that inform the work of this august body. We see the relevance of maintaining sharp focus on those areas that are quite integral to the national and international development agenda. I refer to such matters as sustainable development, maintenance of international peace and security, promotion of human rights, disarmament, promotion of justice and international law, and effective coordination of humanitarian assistance efforts. These, we believe, are our core principles to inform any plan of action to advance into the post-2015 era with the confidence that our shared vision for meeting our set goals will be realized. Mr. President, it was just a few days ago that St. Kitts and Nevis attained another important milestone, celebrating three decades of nationhood with a very strong commitment to maintain the stability and prosperity of our nation, drawing on our own creativity as a government and a people. This year's presentation, therefore, it bears great significance for our proud nation. As one of the smallest member states of the Western Hemisphere and of this organization, we are pleased with the significant strides that we have made as my government pursues the process of transformation for sustainability in a nation that is not immune from the global developments that continue to negatively impact our own national agenda. My government, however, is working assiduously in transforming our former sugar-based economy to one that is service-oriented, driven mainly by tourism and hospitality, and supported by international financial services, offshore education services, manufacturing and agriculture. In all of this, we are cognizant of the momentum and, in fact, the impact of information and communication technology as a tool that will assist in the development of the national economy. As far as the manufacturing sector is concerned, we have developed a cluster of light manufacturing enterprises that service the North and South American markets and also the European markets, with quality electronic and electrical components for the construction, cable television, aerospace, and aircraft industries. Indeed, our present economic trajectory will ensure that we meet both our Millennium Development Goals as well as our own Sustainable Development Goals in the post-2015 development agenda. And that is why the theme of this session, the post-2015 development agenda, setting the stage, is perceived to be quite relevant today. Mr. President, my delegation is pleased that during this session of the General Assembly, we will be reviewing progress made towards the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals as the target date of 2015 fast approaches. The distinguished Secretary General must be complimented for his initiative in this regard. I am pleased to indicate that St. Kitts and Nevis has made tremendous strides in achieving the first MDG, that is, the eradication of extreme poverty. Our government has invested heavily in creating a very solid and expansive social safety infrastructure, which has assisted the less fortunate to lead dignified lives. We provide subsidized health care for children and for the elderly. We assist vulnerable families with the resources to pursue education and provide them with a nourishing hot meal each day. We also provide living facilities for the aged and for the indigent. Mr. President, it is the hope of my delegation that globally every single effort will be made to ensure that all targets are met by 2015 indicative deadline. Indeed, the Millennium Development Goals Report 2013 provides a clear indication of exactly where the international community should be directing its focus. And so the world as a whole has to pay great attention to the most off-track MDGs and those where progress has been stalled, including those related to hunger, related to universal access to primary education, related to child mortality, maternal health, and access to sanitation. All nations must therefore redouble their efforts to exercise the requisite political will to implement programs specially designed to meet the established targets and improve the lives of millions in a meaningful way. Mr. President, we must never lose sight of the intrinsic linkages that exist between the Millennium Development Goals and the Sustainable Development Goals, particularly in the post-2015 development agenda. Both processes, though running in parallel, are mutually reinforcing in the sense that the latter will accelerate the programs to meet the targets indicated in the former, while the former will provide valuable lessons necessary for achieving a higher degree of overall success. Mr. President, cognizant of the fact that poverty eradication is intrinsically linked to the attainment of sustainable development, we must therefore all strive to ensure that a balanced approach is taken to blend economic growth, equity, social inclusion, and environmental sustainability as we craft and implement policies to achieve development that is both meaningful and truly sustainable. Indeed, Mr. President, the post-2015 development agenda must be arrived at through transparent and inclusive intergovernmental negotiations under the United Nations. And so in this regard, my delegation notes with appreciation the decision at the special event on the follow-up on the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals, which was convened earlier this week. Mr. President, the post-2015 development agenda should also address other challenges faced by developing countries, such as universal access to modern energy services, ensuring food security and nutrition, full and productive employment, and decent work for all, skilled jobs and training, agricultural development, building productive capacity, and infrastructure development. My government has seen the positive impact of its own national initiative geared towards providing the youth in particular, the youth I stress, with the skills necessary to integrate into the world of work through the People Empowerment Program, popularly known as the PEP. To date, over 2,000 young men and women are reaping the benefits from this particular initiative. It is highly important that all member states of this great organization play an active role in ensuring that the targets identified in the post-2015 era adequately address the gaps that remain by the indicative deadline for the achievement of the MDGs. Mr. President, my delegation would therefore wish to reaffirm its commitment to ensure that small island developing states remain a special case for sustainable development, recognizing our own unique characteristics, our challenges and vulnerabilities, and the ongoing impact of these on our ability to achieve and build resilience. Small island developing states remain constrained in meeting the economic, environmental, and social challenges. While we recognize our own responsibility in overcoming some of these setbacks, we would wish to stress that in the absence of cooperation and assistance from the international community in general, success will definitely remain difficult. Mr. President, at this juncture, allow me to place on record our own appreciation to some of our development partners who have offered tangible assistance in the stabilization of our national economy, in the general diversification of the national economy, and in particular in the field of agricultural diversification, information and communication technology, development and energy diversification in an economy which relies on fossil fuel consumption, a phenomenon which will positively impact our energy cost reduction efforts as we advance towards utilizing and realizing our goal for a full green economy as we endeavor to bring much needed relief for our people by 2015. The contributions of the government of the Republic of China, Taiwan, Japan, the United States of America, Venezuela, the United Kingdom, Canada, and Cuba, the Organization of American States, the European Union, and the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in particular have assisted greatly in this regard. Mr. President, you will agree that no discussion on the issue of development can progress without reference to the area of health and in particular the chronic illnesses that continue to plague our societies with resultant loss of lives, thus retarding our own development thrust. It was just a few days ago, in the margins of this 68th session of the United Nations General Assembly, that I had the privilege of addressing a forum on non-communicable diseases and disability, held in collaboration with several permanent missions, with the CARICOM Secretariat, with PAHO WHO, and the NCD Alliance. The forum was designed to bring focused attention on creating synergies between NCDs and disabilities, and examine how health systems can be reoriented, can be reinforced to ensure equitable access to high quality care and thus advancing development. From this forum, we were able to confirm that NCDs are not only driven by aging, but increasingly and alarmingly so by the growing numbers of cases of juvenile diabetes and the growing number of youth incapacitated by accident and injury. The high incidence of NCDs within the Caribbean also places an increased burden on our open economies, which are highly vulnerable to external shocks and natural disasters, diverting resources which can be allocated to building quality infrastructure and our precious human capital. Indeed, Mr. President, we do accept the recommendation of the report of the Caribbean Commission on Health and Development that urgent steps must be taken to reverse this particular trend. And so, as we focus strategically on the Millennium Development Goals and the post-2015 development agenda, we cannot lose sight of non-communicable diseases and the real threat that they pose to societies across the globe. And so we are grateful for the attention that has been given at the United Nations High-Level Forum 2 years ago to the need for a global response to this particular problem. And we recognize that much work has been undertaken by the World Health Organization, the Pan American Health Organization, and other regional bodies to reverse the high incidence of NCDs in our region, Mr. President. There is now a strong emphasis on testing, since the collection of empirical data is key to proper tracking and analysis. The preparation of strategic plans and budgets and the incorporation of families and communities in education, prevention, and detection programs, they are all pivotal in this regard. Mr. President, my delegation is convinced that combating the high incidence of non-communicable diseases must receive greater prominence in the sustainable development post-2015 agenda. It is evident that there is a strong nexus between a nation's health status and its levels of productivity. And therefore, my delegation subscribes to the notion that a nation's wealth lies in the health of its people. Our high-level meeting of 2 years ago was an important first step in this regard, and it is one on which we must continue to build on an ongoing basis. It is clear that we need to adopt a similar strategy to the global response to HIV/AIDS in order to achieve the levels of success in fighting the incidence of persons with NCDs. Today, I submit respectfully that there are practical lessons to be learned from the experience developed by agencies such as UNAIDS and PAHO, which have touched the lives of millions in a positive way. It is therefore important for this international body to keep on the front burner a practical strategy to address the high incidence of NCDs within our region and the nations of the world. Mr. President, as we usher in a dispensation of sustainment, we remain cognizant of the inextricable link between development and an environment of peace and security. Crime in any society, it is an unwelcomed and destabilizing threat that must be dealt with promptly. Indeed, the ways in which societies are affected at both the micro and macro levels are known to us all. Entire societies are caused to bear the myriad cost of associated with personal injury, with psychological insecurity, and the related healthcare repercussions. That is why we in St. Kitts and Nevis, we have placed great emphasis on effective leadership, clear lines of authority and responsibility, targeted equipment upgrades, expanded and ongoing training, community policing, strengthened relations between the police and the public, and full cooperation at all levels between our national police force and our National Defense Force. As a result, St. Kitts and Nevis has made tremendous strides in confronting the challenge of crime. Indeed, in the space of just over 1 year, we were able to see crime plummet by some 53%, convincing us of the importance of the United Nations providing a forum via which member states must share best practices in this era of globalized criminality. If the challenge is becoming international in scope, so too must be our response. In this regard, we are equally aware that the socioeconomic and political gains that we are trying to achieve in the global community will be elusive. Elusive if the environment of peace is interrupted by warfare and threats to peaceful coexistence among the world's peoples. And so St. Kitts and Nevis joins in condemning the atrocities that have recently been perpetrated in Syria and in Kenya that have resulted in wanton loss of human lives. Such use of chemical and conventional weapons and resorting to acts of violence and terrorism and their spiraling inhuman effects will ultimately have far-reaching deleterious impact on global safety and security, which must continue to be a concern for all the world's leaders and their people. Mr. President, more than any other time in its history, the United Nations must be more assertive in executing its mandate as a leading actor in securing world peace. St. Kitts and Nevis appreciates the strides that we have made with the Arms Trade Treaty and would encourage that we move with alacrity to ensure its coming into force. However, as small island states with open borders, we see the relevance of establishing international standards and controls that will govern the illicit flow of small arms and light weapons through our Caribbean ports. We commend the United States of America for the partnership, that partnership that has been forged with St. Kitts and Nevis and the other member states of the Caribbean that form part of the U.S. Caribbean Basin Security Initiative, which, among other things, will be pivotal to our own efforts at stemming the illicit flow of foreign-made small arms into our peaceful Caribbean region. This initiative has provided the avenues of collaboration in crime prevention and detection as we work together in building capacity for our security forces. This, we are convinced, will contribute significantly to creating the enabling environment for sustainable development through the prevalence of peace and security in our communities. Mr. President, our focus is not only on the international dimensions of crime. Indeed, we are mindful of the fact that all over the world, women and children are among the most vulnerable in our societies. And so we have instituted a clear and assertive zero-tolerance policy in this regard. Violence against women and children must not be seen as either a personal or a family matter, but instead it should be seen as a socially destructive behavior demanding judicial intervention. If and when this zero-tolerance policy does not yet exist, we strongly urge today its embrace and its immediate implementation. Mr. President, 30 years ago, St. Kitts and Nevis established diplomatic relations with several countries, including the Republic of China and Taiwan. And in these intervening years, this relationship has been mutually beneficial. As the debate on sustainable development unfolds, St. Kitts and Nevis is eminently qualified to speak on the myriad contributions that the Republic of China is capable of making to the international community. While the international community is preoccupied with ensuring peace and security globally, we can applaud the government of the Republic of China for promoting peace across the Taiwan Strait and proposing the East China Sea Peace Initiative, thus demonstrating a commitment to peace and stability. Mr. President, Taiwan is one of the top 18 economies globally. In addition, Taiwan has worked assiduously to advance the economic interests of countries such as ours. In this regard, we have collaborated on a large number of key projects, such as the multi-sectoral agro-tourism development farm, our own high-priority solar energy farm, and an ICT center, all designed to advance the social and economic interests of my small nation. Mr. President, I wish to place on record my delegation's appreciation to the World Health Organization for inviting Taiwan for 5 consecutive years to attend the WHA as an observer. We are of the view that Taiwan has adopted a very pragmatic approach to its meaningful participation in UN specialized agencies and functional organizations that are critical to the current global efforts to address many issues of mutual concern. My delegation is convinced that the arrangements made for Taiwan's presence in the World Health Assembly, which have been referred to as the WHA model, it serves as a useful point of reference for Taiwan's meaningful participation in other international agencies, such as the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO, and the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the UNFCCC. While on that note, permit me, Mr. President, to commend Mr. Roberto Kobe Gonzalez, the President of the ICAO Council, for the decision to invite Taiwan to attend this month's 38th ICAO Assembly as a special guest. Germane, Mr. President, to the entire concept of exclusion from the international trading arrangement is the trade embargo imposed on Cuba at the height of the Cold War, which today remains a matter of concern for St. Kitts and Nevis, as it does to the vast majority of nations represented in this important institution. Our own position is based on our commitment to international law, the principles of the Charter of the United Nations, and our own obligations under the same. We therefore, like so many in this chamber, we are concerned over the extraterritorial application and effects of national legislation on the sovereignty of states. The government, therefore, of St. Kitts and Nevis reiterates its support for General Assembly Resolution 674 on the necessity of ending the economic, commercial, and financial embargo imposed by the United States of America against Cuba, and once again calls for an immediate end to this unilateral action. As we move to close the chapter that ushers in a more enlightened era of human existence, St. Kitts and Nevis joins with the member states of the Caribbean community in supporting the case, that very important case, for reparation associated with the atrocities of slavery. Although the repercussions of slavery and the lives of those of our ancestors cannot be quantified, we are convinced that the deleterious effects, which even now are translated into much hardship and poverty for the descendants of our ancestors, must be resolved. And so, Mr. President, the time has come. The world has seen more than its share of conflict in recent years. In addition, natural disasters, sometimes caused by climate change, continue to wreak havoc in many corners of the globe. All of this speaks to the importance of us marshalling and managing very carefully those resources that have been placed under our respective control for the benefit of the people whom we represent. It speaks to the importance of us being far more responsible stewards of this planet than we have been in the past. It speaks, Mr. President, to our working assiduously whenever we can to abate tensions and promote peace. And so in closing, I emphasize that there can only be change in 2015 as long as we do not fail to take a bold and definitive stance in addressing the ills that stymie our efforts to move forward in achieving our goals. There will be change in 2015 if we do not fail to pursue the priorities that will eradicate poverty, enhance global peace and security, find alternative means of reducing the impact of climate change and saving our planet from destruction, and reduce elevated incidences of HIV, AIDS, and NCDs. There must be change. There must be change in 2015, Mr. President. If the agencies of this august body adopt a policy of equity and that strong determination to execute their mandate to enable the institutionalization of a culture of peace and security, respect for human lives, and justice for all. Let us therefore today and forever commit to rise to the challenge and move forward, imbued with a renewed sense of focus, determination, and urgency to fulfill our goals. May all that we say here, Mr. President, bring us closer to this most vital and crucial of ends. May it please you. Thank you.